So we are continuing our series in the Gospel according to Mark. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, we are going to be on page 1065, and we will be looking at Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Short passage, so I like it when it's short. But there are other longer passages. So hear the word of God from Mark chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed. And as he, as in Jesus, reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." God, would you add blessing to this through both the reading and the preaching of your word? Amen. Every now and then, someone comes along and just redefines the categories, if you will. It can even be a group of people that come along, and by how they do what they do, they redefine it. Even it can be a thing that's made can redefine categories. In the last 5 years, there's been a number of buildings built that have redefined architecture. I don't know if you know about this one. There's the Shanghai Tower. Obviously, where is it? Okay. Just see if you're awake this morning, you know, in case the Arise My Soul didn't wake you up. 2015, it was built, and 2,070 feet high. It's the tallest building in China, the second tallest in the world. It is the world's tallest observation deck, and it's the second fastest elevator. We think ours is fast. Well, ours isn't fast. Ours is very gentle. But the second fastest elevator. Well, these make it stand out. But what about this building has redefined architecture is just that it's an asymmetrical form. There are no corners to the building, and as it goes up, it twists. So there's no corners in the building. You can't go to a part of the building and there's an edge, right? There's no corners. It twists. Well, that reduced the material cost by $58 million. That design alone, and it reduced the wind stress by 24%. So it's kind of redefined architecture. What can you do? There are athletes that redefine, right, things. There are athletes that redefine their position. I think Russell Wilson is probably one in a group of quarterbacks that is redefining quarterbacking. He's part of a group of quarterbacks that, you know, are kind of this, if I say dual threat, is there some ladies in here that are going to know what I'm saying? Yeah, hopefully some of you. So a quarterback is the one that has the ball, and he throws it typically. But a dual threat quarterback is one who can also tuck it and run, right? And there's a growing cadre of quarterbacks that are redefining, not this being a drop back and pocket passer, but ones that can run too, and they add a dual threat, a dual threat quarterback. It kind of came up through the college ranks. It's really hitting the NFL and the professional ranks in stride now. And so you have this group of athletes that are redefining what it means to be a quarterback. Jesus was no architect, but he certainly redefined what it means to have a church. Jesus was certainly no athlete, but he definitely redefined what it means to be successful in the eyes of God. In our text this morning, we're actually going to see how Jesus' gospel, how he talks about grace, actually he redefines grace. His gospel redefines what we understand by grace. Grace is something that actually started, that our Lord introduced into this world way back in the garden after the fall. But it got muddled. And Jesus, through his ministry, and particularly through his teaching, his gospel redefines grace. Grace is something that we all need, is it not? We all need it. It's a condition we hope for and all need, but he redefines it. And this is simply how this will go and how we see this. First, Jesus redefines grace by his gospel redefines the recipients of grace. His gospel first redefines the recipients of grace. Who is it that can get grace? Jesus redefines this. We see there's actually two people that tell us that the recipients of grace, in fact, has been redefined. First, you have Levi, who is part of what? A group of people called the tax collectors, right? He's part of the tax collectors. What he probably did was probably very similar to a customs office collecting tolls, if you will. And he probably what we see from this text, he had his office in Capernaum. Okay, his customs office was in Capernaum, and it was if you went around the north part of the Sea of Galilee, it was kind of the first stop of major importance for travelers in that area, and a customs officer would collect tolls there, would collect taxes there. In fact, archaeologists have found inscriptions that indicate that there was a toll on fish. So if you were a fisherman, and you happen to make your way through that area, you might even pay in a poll or a tax on the fish that you had caught. So it's likely that Levi actually knew Jesus and knew the disciples, the first disciples. Why? From the Gospel of Mark. Yeah, they were fishermen. So Levi probably knew the first disciples and probably knew Jesus because of his collecting taxes on fish. Tax collectors, though, were despised, right? They were despised. They collected taxes for the Roman government, which was actually an occupying government. They're an occupying empire in that land, right? That was not their home. They took that by force. Romans would lease tax collecting duties, poll, custom collecting duties to the highest bidder, right? You want this work? You promised this amount of income for us, this amount of taxes. And so it led to some of the greatest profiteering at the expense of the common person, right? But they were loathed, right? But they were most loathed. The most loathsomeness was reserved for the Jew that became a tax collector. Why? Well, you have an occupying empire, And they're in your land, they're occupying your land, and you're collecting taxes for the enemy. They were greatly loathed. In fact, a Jew working as a customs collector, tax collector, he couldn't be a witness in the court of law. He was excommunicated from the synagogue. You was like kicked out. You couldn't go to church. And his family would be like, it was a disgrace. I mean, like, if you wouldn't go, if you were a kid in school, you wouldn't go play with that family's kid because of what his dad did. It was a disgrace. It was thought that the tax collectors were far from grace. That they wouldn't expect tax collectors to be a recipient of grace at all. But Jesus redefined that. His gospel redefined who could receive grace. There's a second group of people you see in this text that are recipients of grace that are very unexpected. Jesus is redefining it, and it's the word sinners. It's the word sinners. This group is sinners. Now, sinners is not to be viewed simply as those who disobeyed the law, that were transgressors of the moral law. In fact, this was a technical term. The Pharisees would call a certain group of people sinners because they had no knowledge of their rabbinical traditions. They had no knowledge of their interpretation of the Mosaic law and how they were to live it out, their interpretation. These people also basically, they didn't know it or they didn't care. If you didn't care about the rabbinical traditions, other than the interpretations of the Mosaic law and how you applied it, you were called a sinner. So, for example, if you had no knowledge or no interest in the traditional way that you were to wash your dishes by the rabbinical law, you were called a sinner. Okay, so if you didn't wash your dishes in a way that kept yourself ceremonial clean in the eyes of the Mosaic law, you were called a sinner. Right, thank you. If you didn't prepare your food in a certain ceremonially a pure way, a rabbinical traditional way, you were called a sinner. Yeah, there are certain food handling ways, okay, and you were called a sinner. These traditions were originally born out of a zeal to obey the Mosaic law, but they became traditional. We got handed down, and handed down, and handed down. And so by not adhering to this tradition, in these traditions, you were called a sinner. And it was thought that those sinners would not be receiving God's grace. There's no way that you could be a part of this class of sinners and be a recipient of God's grace. But Jesus' gospel redefined that. Jesus' gospel redefined that. You could be a sinner and be a recipient of God's grace. Now let's stop and think about that for a moment, just for our own context, okay? For our own ministry, our own lives. Can you think of a people or a person or a group or that is despised, that is loathed, maybe even strongly disliked, okay? Maybe by you. Maybe there's a person or a group that the way they live their lives, what they do, right? What they do is so disagreeable to you. Their actions live. Now let me ask this question. According to the gospel, can they be a recipient of grace? Yes, they really can. They can be a recipient of grace. Jesus redefines that. Can you think of a people or a person who's viewed as an outsider? They're inferior because they don't have no interest and no knowledge of your traditions. It might be your traditional values. It might be how you greet someone, how you welcome someone, how you view your money or your time, right? Can you think of someone that maybe on the outside that doesn't know or have any interest in your traditional values? Could they be a recipient of grace? Yes, according to the gospel, they too can be recipients of grace. Think about it as an individual or church. Ones who understand that the recipients of grace, that Jesus redefines that, boy, at the core of what a church is and what a church does, you're far more willing to accept even change around here, around anywhere, because you know at the core it's not about that, it's about the gospel. It's about grace and those who might receive it. So the gospel redefines who are the recipients of grace, but the gospel also redefines this. The gospel redefines the responsibilities of grace. The gospel of Jesus redefines a recipient of grace, but it also redefines the responsibilities of grace. What do you mean by that, Jamie? Well, how do the Pharisees view their responsibilities, their job, if you will, their responsibilities to teaching the law of God or responsibility of grace? Well, one good word comes to mind, in an enforcer or a conformer, right? They're out there. They're not really at this meal to do what? To enjoy the meal, enjoy the company, are they? No, they are out to enforce something, to conform something. They object to what? Jesus is eating with tax collectors and with sinners. They object to it. What's the implicit objection? These people are not conforming to our rabbinical standards, our traditional standards. And Jesus, you're a teacher of the law. He was recognized as a teacher. Therefore, you as a teacher, you should not be associating with them. These are sinners. These are outsiders. These are tax collectors. These are loathsome. Teachers of the law only associate with those that have conformed. Only associate with those who are not sinners. The ones who conform to our tradition. Those that are not loathsome. Those who are not outcasts. And those who are outsiders. Jesus, you should know a better, in fact. For the Pharisee, their responsibility to grace, the teaching of the law, was to seek conformity. To enforce their version. They're going to be in conflict. We're going to see this. They're going to be in conflict with Jesus for most of the gospel. And in fact, on this very point where you're going to see, this actually led to Jesus' death. They would start building a case to put this man to death because of his lack of conformity to their traditions, to their what they saw as obedience to God. The Pharisees are out to conform people. They're out to conform people. What is Jesus' responsibility to grace? How does Jesus view his responsibility to grace? Well, what does he do with Levi? What does he do? He calls him. He doesn't say, hey, come conform to this tradition. Come conform. No, come and follow me. Come and follow me and you will find what? Grace. You will find a changed life. You will find grace. He says, come and follow me. Not come and conform to this tradition. Come and follow me and you will find grace. Jesus fulfills his responsibility to grace by what? Inviting people to follow him. Inviting people to find grace in him. What is his response to their challenge? What's his response to their challenge that you shouldn't be eating with them? He quotes a very well-known proverb, right? Those that are well have no need of a physician, but only those that are sick. Doc, you wouldn't have had a job, right? If there had been people that weren't sick in the world, right? You would not have had a job. Anyone who's a doctor or a nurse, right? You wouldn't have had a job. He quotes this very well-known proverb, but then he inserts himself, right? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus is inserting himself in this very well-known proverb as the role of a physician, right? He's quoting this proverb. He's actually agreeing that there's a demarcation between these people that are sinners and tax collectors. He's recognizing that there is a difference between people, but what is he doing? He's not critiquing. He's actually critiquing the Pharisees' responsibility to grace. Wait a minute. Guys, do you not realize these people are sick and they need a physician? You know, it's not time to send in a referee or an umpire, is it? We don't need someone calling balls and strikes at this point. These folks need healing. They're sick. They need a physician, right? It's not time to build a committee to establish a book of rules, right? On what you have to conform to, right? No, these people are sick. Jesus puts himself in the role of a physician, right? And calling people to himself where they can find grace. Let's stop and think a moment about what that means for us, for church, for our own lives. Can we describe our ministry, our church, our whatever it might be in terms of it's inviting people to what? To follow Jesus, to find grace. Or can we describe our ministries and our churches more in light of we want to conform people to a certain tradition, a certain whatever? Or is it, are we inviting people to follow Jesus? Or think of it personally on an individual scale. How would you describe your relationships with people? How would you describe your interactions with people? Could they be described as inviting people to follow Jesus to find grace? Or could you kind of describe your relationships and your interactions more of, I really want them to conform to what I think is important? Or are you inviting them? Inviting them to follow Jesus and find grace. You know, what's a great thing about Jesus' redefining his gospel redefining grace. You know what the really great thing about this is? Guess what? It opens a way for people like what? You and me. It opens a door for people like you and me to find grace, right? That's right. Unless you stand in the line of the Pharisees, right? And see yourself, maybe you see yourself as you're not in need of a physician. But if you don't, if you see yourself as in need of a physician, we have a way in, don't we? We have a way because Jesus has redefined the recipients. It's those that need grace. Have you heard that call like Levi, right? Have you heard that call? Lord, yes, I am sick. Yes, I am unrighteous. But you are the great physician, right? You are righteous. I am not. I hear your call, and I will follow you today. If you haven't had that conversation with Jesus, I so encourage you to do that, to hear that call and to follow it. But if you've done that, think of this for a moment too. Have you taken up the responsibility to invite others to follow Jesus, right? Have you taken up the responsibility to invite people to know grace in Jesus? Or yet, are you trying to conform people to a tradition? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are excited that you made a way, that you, by your gospel, redefined who could be the recipients of grace. And we stand in that tradition, that we are among those hopefully have heard that invitation and respond. Lord, would you also help us, though, as we think about a life and our conversations and our relationships and our ministries, that we, in fact, ourselves would go, wow, the disciples continued this very tradition, not the tradition of the Pharisees, but the tradition of inviting people to follow you and to find grace. Also, would you help us to do that? We pray this all in Jesus' name.